Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack, and on this episode, we're going to be talking about chatbots. To help me with this subject, I have James Ramey, the CEO of DeviceBits. James, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Ryan, for having us.
Now, before we get started in talking about chatbots, can you tell us a little bit about DeviceBits and what it is that your company does?
Sure. So DeviceBits is really focused on making happy customers. And by making happy customers, we mean working with the biggest brands in the different industries to provide the best customer support possible across all channels that customers are now these days demanding that we provide service for.
Excellent. So, you know, chatbots and machine learning, all that has really kind of always fascinated me. So how can a bot learn over time to expand their horizons of support?
Sure. I think the biggest thing with bots that we've seen in our few years of experience and working with them now is that, you know, the ability to drive the intention of what a customer is asking is key to the success of any chatbot. And given the number of channels, whether it be chat or social media or text messaging, that these questions may come in on, you know, those are different users that may have different ways of formulating their question. And so we have spent a lot of our time really doing what we call intent matching, the ability to match what a customer is asking with what the real problem is that they're trying to solve.
Interesting. So I've been seeing a lot of what the downloadable self-support materials. So how does that help in playing in how the bot itself evolves?
Sure. So, you know, I think a lot of companies are spending enormous amounts of human capital building out the collateral or the articles that they need to feed these bots, whether it be for sales and marketing purposes or customer service. And so for many years now, we've been developing knowledge articles that are used in self-service and agent-assisted interfaces. And so those knowledge articles are simply being repurposed into this bot or virtual agent experience that many companies are looking for today. The benefit of that is we have millions of usages of those articles, and we map that usage to a successful outcome and the original question asked. So going back to that intent matching, those articles are critical in driving out what intent might mean.
Excellent. So now I know that there's been a lot of fear in terms of, you know, that robots are going to take all of our jobs here. But to me, quite frankly, I really think that there has to be kind of a human and kind of a tech approach to these things. So how is it that the bots and agents can kind of work together to help customers?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think you're exactly right. You know, the robots aren't taking over the world just yet. we're a ways away. You know, I think what we've seen in our experience is, you know, bots create an interesting opportunity in a market that has long struggled for retaining employees and, you know, creating happiness amongst the employee base and the call centers. And so, one, I think, you know, the bots give a career path or a trajectory for those people who are in the center to advance and build a skill set that is portable in their own career building. And then, you know, secondly, I think what we've seen is that, you know, this handoff, right? And so bots are only as good as the information that's training them, that's being done through machine, through self-service, through agent-assisted guidance. And so your agents end up being the subject matter experts that ultimately are fueling the bots. The complexity of technology is not slowing down, it's accelerating. And so, you know, the need to continue to train these bots with real user interactions, with self-service interactions is critical, and agents aren't going away. You know, secondly, the bot needs someone to hand off to when it can't answer the question, and so that's where the agents become critical. And bridging that gap and letting the agent know what the customer has already done on their own or with a bot is a way to create a happier customer by respecting their time through understanding what they've already tried and not making them repeat it.
Excellent. So kind of staying on that subject in terms of training, so which customer service knowledge database, so call log, CRM, and things of that nature, should really a person be focused on that information teaching a robot over time?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think one of the biggest mistakes that people are making today is they're thinking in a modality. And so they're thinking, hey, we're going to take all of our chat logs, and with that, we're going to compile this great bot. But what they forget about are the users who maybe are coming in over SMS, users who are still coming in over email, or maybe through Facebook or Twitter, let alone the voice, IVR systems that they have. And so, you know, while it's a good start, you know, that's just a single channel. What we've done is we've tried to open that up and say, okay, how do we collect this information across all these channels to drive out intent, to map an intelligent chatbot that can understand what the customer's asking across any channel and redistribute answers across any channel to maximize the intelligence that's out there in the data sets that many of these companies have and are just failing to utilize.
Good. Excellent. Excellent. So now kind of speaking of a customer interaction here, so why is it that so many people are using search engines for customer support? And in your opinion, why do you see this as failing?
You know, I think people are using it because we've been conditioned. One, if we have a question, we go to Google, right? Or whatever our favorite search engine is, Bing or Yahoo. So some of that's conditioning. But, you know, I think the reality is that people have given up on going to the brand's website for support. You know, they've got outdated FAQs. You know, they've probably been sitting out on the website for a year or more. They got manuals, PDF manuals. Nobody reads a manual. And so, you know, how do companies really make that a much more valuable piece of real estate on their website so that customers can trust that when they go and visit whatever the brand is .com, that they're going to get the answers they're looking for. You know, the risk of going to Google has become clear this year. Facebook and Microsoft both fell victim to a scam where people were out there setting up fake sites and taking credit cards to give support, but they were dinging people for a fee on a monthly basis, and they weren't even affiliated with those brands. And so while we've been conditioned to go to Google, there's inherent risk for these brands who have spent millions or billions of dollars building their name by not owning that support experience.
Excellent. Well, this has all really been great information. So what's the best way that people can go to find more out about DeviceBits?
Sure. Yeah, you can visit our website at devicebits.com. There's a form there if you want more information on what's available. Publish white papers once a quarter out there. Have lots of news going in the press on a weekly basis. And obviously, we're available for anyone if they want to dig in and take a look at what we do.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time today, James. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That wraps up another episode of the Payments Journal podcast. If you're interested in being part of the podcast, please reach out to us at info@mercatoradvisorgroup.com. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, and we look forward to keeping you up to date with the latest payment news.